right, let's take your Bibles then. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to finish out chapter 2 today, Lord willing. And so if you would find your place there, and whenever you do, go ahead and stand. And Brother Josh, you ready for the old switcheroo?
Hello.
Yes.
All right, amen. All worked out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. My other blessing is I'm feeling a lot better. I had the chest situation happening on Sunday, and it just didn't get bad. So praise the Lord for that. That cough will last for a while, but God's grace was there for that. I have a voice. Some of you aren't so happy about that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 13. Paul says this, "But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, by the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." The title of this message today is A Believer's Response to the Tribulation. We've been talking about the tribulation and what it looks like and how they responded. And we're going to talk about today how we ought to respond. And so I'm excited about that. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the clarity of your word. And thank you for this great truth that we've been studying. And thank you for your grace, God, that we don't get what we deserve. And I'm so thankful for that. And so I pray that you'd help us as we look into this. Help me to be able to declare your word tonight with clarity. And help us have hearts that are ready to hear from you. With that being Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. And so we've been studying about the day of the Lord and the Antichrist. And the reason why Paul brought that all up is because the church there at Thessalonica were being persecuted heavily. And we know all of this, but just by way of review, the part of how Paul comforted them while they were being persecuted as they were going through all of this in chapter 1, if you want to look there really fast, read a few verses, was to explain to them that, yes, you might be going through a hard time now and you might be being persecuted by the lost now, but you have a future to look forward to later that is glorious. And so we had that blessed hope of the future, the eternity that we have with God. And those who are persecuting you maybe are having a better life than you in some ways on this earth, although I would contend they're really not. But outwardly speaking, maybe they're having a better life than you on this earth, but they have an eternity awaiting them that is not good. And eternity is forever, forever and ever and ever. We have this life, we have this 60 to 80, 100 years on this earth, and that seems like a long time, but we, you know, if you think really hard about it, it's not that long of a time. And then if you think about it in terms of eternity, the day we pass from this earth, we will wake up in our eternal destiny. And where we wake up after we pass from this earth will be forever and ever and ever without end. And so Paul says, you know, we need to look at this all in light and perspective of eternity. And so in 2 Thessalonians 1:6, he says, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." And so Paul says, listen, those who trouble you will, you know, they're bringing tribulation to your life, human tribulation, but God says, but the lost will suffer God's tribulation. And really, it's a choice, isn't it? Do we want to suffer the tribulation and persecution of man, or are we going to suffer the persecution tribulation of God? I don't know about you. I don't want to face God's tribulation. I'll take man's. And so that's what he says there. And he says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. And so he says, those who are persecuting you will face the tribulation and wrath of God, both during the tribulation time, which we'll talk about in a second, and for eternity in hell forever, the wrath of God they're looking forward to. But you who are troubled now, you will rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And so Paul says there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus will come back. He came first time as a baby in a manger in a stable, and he grew up and he lived a life of peace, and he was a, you know, even historians will admit, a good man by all accounts, sinless, meek and mild, loving people. And of course his love will never change, but he ascended to glory, and he is coming back again. And when he comes back again, it's not as a cute little baby. And meek and mild won't really be the words that are going to be used when he comes back. God will bring judgment on this earth one day, and Christ is going to come back, and he's coming back to judge the earth. This, you know better than I do, this earth deserves judgment. If we just look around, it's a wicked place. There's a lot of bad things that happen. And we wonder why bad things happen. Why does God allow these bad things to happen? Well, here's why God allows the bad things to happen. Because he's waiting to judge the earth. You're right in some ways. He should judge the earth now, but that's not going to be a pretty 7 years. And God is being gracious not to judge the earth yet. The Bible says he's tarrying his coming, he's waiting because of his grace, because he wants people to get saved. He wants people to escape his judgment. He will judge the earth, but he doesn't want you to be a part of it. And careful what you ask for. Because when he does finally make things right, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And there's coming a day of tribulation. And he's going to be revealed from heaven. When Jesus is revealed from heaven, though, there's going to be two things that happen. The first thing that's going to happen is he's going to take those who have obeyed the gospel out of here. Right? So the gospel is, we all deserve the wrath of God. We all deserve it. All of us. We all deserve the wrath of God. And that's what hell is. It's the eternal wrath of God. We all deserve it. All of us. But God loves you. But he's also just. He can't ignore our sin any more than a judge can just free a criminal because he likes him. He can't. And God's righteous, so he can't just ignore our sin. He has to judge our sin. And we can do that if we want to. The only way we can judge our sin and pay for our sin is hell forever. And God doesn't want that. God loves you so much that he became a man and God died on the cross. And he took the wrath of God for you. That's the gospel. That you deserve God's wrath. God loves you so much he doesn't want to judge you. And so he judged himself on the cross. He took the payment for your sin on the cross. And now all we have to do is believe the gospel and ask him to forgive us. That's all it takes. He made it that plain for us. Because he loves you. And he doesn't want to judge you. And he came to be your Savior. To save you from sin, yes, but more than that, to save you from the destruction your sin causes. And he came to be your Savior first because he does not want to be your judge. But if you reject the gospel and say, I don't care what God says, I don't care what Jesus did, I'm good enough, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. Jesus is the only one who was, and he died for you. The only way your sins can be forgiven is for you to ask forgiveness from God based on what Jesus did. not what you did. You see? And so those who have done that, those who have asked Christ to forgive them based upon what Jesus did for them on the cross, those who have trusted in Jesus to be their Savior and repented of their sin and obeyed the gospel, when Jesus comes back in the air, he's taken us out, but then he's going to pour retribution on this earth. And for 7 years. We've been talking about that. And it's called the tribulation. Okay. And so Paul wanted to comfort them that way. And so to look at it that way. And really, the Thessalonians should have already known this, right? Paul told them all of this. And as they were going through the persecution, they should have saw it through that lens. And they should have said, yes, I'm suffering now, but Christ suffered. And, you know, well, why wouldn't we? And so we get to suffer now because we have an eternity to look forward to. And so, yes, it stinks right now, but if you look at it into perspective, I have an eternity with God to look forward to. And so I'm going to keep serving the Lord. They should have had all of that in their mind, and they should have been settled that way. Paul already talked to them about all of this, but the problem was that they were listening to false doctrine in the area. And there were people in that area that were getting in their mind and causing them to think, as we said, that this persecution you're going through is actually not man's persecution. This is God's persecution. And God is persecuting you right now because you're in the tribulation. And that's what they were saying. And they started to believe that. And if you know anything about Revelation verses chapter 6 through 19, it doesn't get any better. It gets a lot worse. The tribulation that comes from the Antichrist is just the beginning of a lot worse. And so they were getting scared and anxious, like they were going to go through all of that. And so in chapter 2, Paul reminded them of the truth and cleared up confusion that these false teachers had created in them. Paul reminded them that they will be raptured first. You will be raptured first. You will not face the tribulation. The tribulation is not right now. Paul says, are you here? If you're here, it's not the tribulation. He said that in 1 Thessalonians, and he said it again in the first verse of chapter 2 there. But then he went on to remind them also that the Antichrist, we said, would literally be the ruler of the whole world before you face what they say you're facing. If this was the persecution from God, the Antichrist would be the ruler of the whole world, literally, and there'd be no question. We read all that. We made that clear. Okay. And so that's kind of where we have been up to this point. And if you get to chapter 2, verse 12, he ends it this way. As he's talking about the day of the Lord, the tribulation time, and the Antichrist, he ends it this way in verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So those who will not obey the gospel, those who say, I've got this myself, I'm good enough, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't care what God says, I don't care what Jesus says, they will be, he says, damned. They will face the wrath of God. Because why? Well, here's what it says. They believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They'd rather enjoy the unrighteousness of the world then believe the truth of the gospel, and they will face the wrath of God. God doesn't want that. God did everything he possibly could to save them. He did everything. He died for them. He made it easy. He could have died and still put hoops there. He could have died and said, okay, but you still have to go through this class, and you still have to get baptized, and you still have to be a member of a church, and you still have to be really good, and you still have to outweigh your bad works with your good works. He didn't do any of that. He just died and said, now just ask. Please, and he's begging mankind right now. He's begging you, if you've not had your sins forgiven, God is begging you to ask him to forgive. He desperately wants to forgive you, but God will not make anyone do that. He won't make anyone do that. It's a choice we have to make. Yeah. And so those who refuse it will one day face his wrath because they, in the end, believed not the truth. Now, Paul's going to shift gears and start talking about the believers. unbelievers should feel fear and anxiety about the tribulation because they'll face it. And in the middle of it, they will be terrified. That's the word. Because it's going to be worse than it's ever been. And if you're lost, you have every reason to be terrified of the wrath of God. Because it's not good. That's why Jesus warned about it so often while he was on this earth. Because it's not going to be good. Believers, though, they ought not to view the tribulation that way. Because they're different. So the lost believed not the truth. Look at the end of verse 13. And belief of the truth. So Paul says, you are not that way. You have believed the truth. You have accepted the gospel. And so you don't have to view the tribulation this way. You don't have to be scared of this. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be anxious. In fact, for you, it's exactly the opposite. You should be thankful. So after reminding them of what he taught and what it means for the lost, he wanted them to see what it means for the saved. And so we're going to look tonight at three ways that as believers, we should respond to the truth of the tribulation. And the first one is this. Knowledge of the day of the Lord should cause believers to be thankful. Why? That we're saved from this. That's what we're saved from. So look at verse 13. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always. It's kind of a crazy shift, isn't it? Verse 12, it says, they might all be damned, and it's scary and heavy and hard to hear, but now we shift all the way to the other end of the spectrum, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. So much comfort and endearing language here, see? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul thanked God that those believers he's writing to, they had believed the truth, and they're saved from God's wrath. And so praise the Lord. And the more we learn about the wrath of God, the more thankful we ought to be. Because we're not going to face even one ounce, one drop of the wrath of God. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians said, we are not appointed to wrath. So that's a blessing. And so as we hear about the wrath of God, we ought to be thankful. And by the way, if you've truly been saved, you remember how that went? You were convicted about the judgment of God that you deserved. And there was, I mean, we can't get around it. There's a little bit of fear there. Actually, if we're honest, there's a lot of fear there. The wrath of God, I deserve it. And then you pray. And then what do you immediately experience? Thankfulness, right? And the burden lifted, right? And so you go from really the most heavy and fearful part of your life to the most excited and thankful part of your life in just a second. That's how it goes. That's who salvation is. That's how it works. Okay. So he said that they believed the truth and were saved. And so Paul said that God had chosen to save them through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, we have to say first, this does not mean that God chose them to the exclusion of the rest. Right. It's not like Paul is saying, okay, those people who are persecuting you, God chose that they can't be saved, but God chose you that you can be saved. No, that's not what he's saying. He says he was thankful that God had chosen to save those who believed. We all deserve his wrath. We said that. We all deserve to go through everything that Paul talked about. All of the wrath that we talked about in the tribulation, all of those horrible events of Revelation 6 to 19, we all deserve to go through every bit of that. But God loved us so much that he became a man and he died for us. He died to pay for our sins. He took his own wrath on the cross for us. That's the gospel. And from the beginning, God chose not people individually, but God chose that it would be this way, that whoever believed in the gospel would have their sins forgiven. God chose that from the beginning. He didn't choose who would believe. He just chose that those who believed would be saved. That was his plan from the beginning. And because of the gospel, we that believe are not only saved from God's wrath, but we will obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, is what he said there. We'll spend eternal glory with God in heaven. Not only will we not get what we deserve, but we're going to get a lot of stuff that we don't deserve. Amen. And then this also, those who believe that God chose people says that we are the called, right? Like God called you specifically. No, God actually calls everybody. Look what it says in verse 14. Whereunto he called you, how? By the gospel. That Jesus came means he has called all men to himself. God has not just called specific people to salvation. God has called all men. It's not his will that any should perish. God wants all to come to repentance. God's calling all of us. How do we know that? The gospel. He died for you. We're called by the gospel. The idea is that we didn't do this ourselves. You know, we didn't do that ourselves. Without God, we would have no hope. But he called us by the gospel. And he's calling you. And some have accepted, some haven't. But he's calling all of us by the gospel. And us that have accepted that, we didn't do anything special. All we did was ask. He forgave. And we get to spend an eternal glory with him. And my friend, that is something to be thankful about. Right? Paul said he was bound to give thanks always to God for that. No matter how hard life gets, no matter how hard the persecution they were facing, no matter how hard your life is, no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful, there is an underlying deep thankfulness that you can have, because no matter how hard this life, this short life is, we have an eternity to look forward to with our God that we don't deserve. We need to be thankful. That's why Paul was able to sing in the prison cell. That's why Stephen was able to praise God as he was stoned to death. Because it's not about this life, it's about the next life. And for that, we can be thankful. I mean, it was pretty bad for the Thessalonians. But right thinking about the day of the Lord shouldn't cause fear and anxiety like it was causing in them. Instead, it should cause them to have reason to be thankful and joyful and grateful. Because no matter how hard their life was, they had an eternity with God to look forward to. So that's the first one. As we think of the day of the Lord, the tribulation, we ought to be thankful. Number two, knowledge of the day of the Lord should cause believers to stand fast in what they had been taught. Look at verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And so, as we know, the persecution they were facing, why were they facing that persecution? Well, it was because of what they believed and what they taught. That's it. They didn't smell bad or anything. They didn't do anything wrong. The only reason they were being persecuted was because they believed the gospel and they were teaching the gospel. That's it. And so, because of that, it would have been a constant temptation for them to compromise that, to compromise the truth so that they could be more acceptable in their society. Right? That was the temptation for them. But the knowledge of God's judgment would help them to stay true to the Word of God. Why? Because we can't play games with this. We're talking about the judgment of God that people deserve. And the people of Thessalonica, they needed to know the truth, the real truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen? The truth, not watered down, not interjected with other false teaching. We couldn't play with this. They couldn't play with that. They needed to give them the truth. Why? So that the Thessalonians, the ones that were persecuting them, the ones that were making their life hard, they needed to hear the truth of the gospel so they can be saved from this. They couldn't afford to compromise. And not only that, but compromising the truth that they had been taught is what caused them to be so scared right now and to be so anxious about the day of the Lord, because they heard this false teaching. And when they heard this false teaching, they hadn't solidified in their heart to hold fast to what Paul taught them. What do you mean? Okay, Paul taught them that the rapture would happen first, they wouldn't face the tribulation, and if they would have taken the truths that they were taught and resolutely decided, I'm going to continue steadfastly in that teaching, and I'm not changing because I know it's rooted in the Word of God. It's not some man, you know, in the 1500s that said this. This is the Word of God that said this. And if the Bible said it, then I know it's true. And if they would have did that, if they would have had that standfastness that Paul's telling them they need, when that false doctrine came in, it would have done nothing. It would have bounced right off. When the false teacher said, hey, this is the tribulation, they could have said, no, it's not. We're still here, you know. They could have said, no, it's not. Where's the ruler of the whole world? He's not here. But they weren't resolute in what they believed. They had not decided that they believe what they believe and they know why they believe what they believe. And so we need to be that way. We need to know why we believe what we believe. And when we know it's from the truth of the Word of God, we hold fast to it, no matter what's happening around us, and no matter what society is saying. We're going to hold fast to what the Word of God says. That's what we need. And when you do that, it provides stability. It provides stability. You won't be anxious. You can rest in the truth. Yeah. And as we preach the truth of the Word of God, there's going to be a lot of people who don't like it. They're not going to like what we preach. And there's going to be a lot of people who teach other doctrine. But as we understand the truth of God's coming judgment, and we really get a hold of the truth of eternity, we can't afford to compromise the truth. When Brother Tim said, when that man came in and said, I'm a Lutheran, and Brother Tim said, well, what do they teach about salvation? They said, oh, the same thing as you. It could have been a temptation to say, oh yeah, you're right. Same thing. Well, it's not the same thing. We can't compromise the truth. They teach that baptism is part of your salvation, that you have to be in the waters of holy water. I don't know what they call it that, but you have to be confirmed and you have to be baptized to be saved. No, you don't. And if you're trusting in the waters of baptism for your salvation, you are not placing your faith in the truth of the Word of God. You're not placing your faith in the blood of Christ alone. And we're not going to play around with the doctrine of salvation. We can't afford to compromise. We're not going to be mean about it, but we do have to be firm about it and stand fast in the truth, right? Yeah. And so it doesn't matter if the world doesn't like it. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. The society of Thessalonica did not like it. That's why they're being persecuted, but they needed to hear it. And it doesn't matter what others are teaching, because we know what the Bible says, and we can stand fast and firm on it. We don't have to waver, like in Ephesians, being tossed to and fro by the winds of doctrine. There's always going to be winds of doctrine, and some of them are going to sound really close to ours, but also this. No, not that. What the Bible says. We're not going to get blown away by that, because we're going to stand firm on what the Word of God says. And if we do that, it'll cause within us peace and stability as we go through this life, no matter how chaotic things get, no matter how much opposition we get, we can stand fast and sure in that, in the truth. And lastly, knowledge of the day of the Lord should cause believers to be comforted and stable. Just kind of hitting that truth one more time, but this time in their eternity. Verse 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And so the main reason Paul was telling them all of this was to comfort them. Because, like we said, they were nervous. They allowed that false teaching to get them shooken up and nervous that they were going to face the rest of God's judgment. But Paul wanted to settle them down, settle their hearts, comfort their hearts with the truth. And they didn't have to wonder. They didn't have to wonder if they would face God's wrath. And the more they understood the truth, the more they understood about God's love for them, the more they understood about God's grace, the more comforted and the more stable they would be. And listen, the more you understand about the truth of God's word, the more stable and the more comforted you will be. You need to be constantly learning about God, about His love for you. You need to be constantly learning about the grace of God. You need to learn about the wrath of God that He saved you from. You need to learn more about the eternity that you're looking forward to. You need to learn more about the power and control of our God. You need to learn more about the faithfulness of our God. You need to learn more about the care that God has for you and the value that God places on you. The more you learn about our God and His character and what He's promised, the more stable and the more comforted you'll be. No matter how hard life gets or what you're going through in this life, the knowledge of our God will provide you with comfort and stability even in the midst of chaos. We're in a weird, crazy, chaotic world. And it doesn't seem like there's any signs of slowing down. And if we jumped on the teachings and philosophies of our day, we would just be a mess, like most of our world is. But in the midst of chaos, if we are true and steadfast and on the Word of God, unchanging, uncompromising, and as we learn more about who our God is, even in the midst of all the crazy, we can find comfort, we can find rest, we can find stability. And it only comes through the truth of God's Word. It doesn't come from the craziness going away. It doesn't come from the persecution stopping. It doesn't come from a different situation, a different family, a different financial situation, a better job. Yes, okay. It doesn't matter what, that's not what is what's going to bring comfort. What's going to bring true comfort and stability is knowing who our God is and that He loves you very much and He's in full control of all this and we can trust Him every step of the way, and there's always reason for joy and gratefulness as we know our God. That's what matters. The answer is always, always to know God better and to trust God better and to love God better. And so, as we consider the judgment of God and the horrible events of the tribulation, and it's hard to talk about, it's hard to think about, but as we do, there's no reason for fear. And there's no reason for anxiety about the future. There's every reason to be thankful that God has spared us from His wrath. There's every reason to be faithful, to stand for the Word of God and to preach it the way it is. There's every reason to comfort and stable our hearts and rest. Even as we face the chaos, because we already know how this all turns out. I've said this before. I think I stole this from Brother Sam. But, you know, he's a big football fan. He loves OU and all that. And he said, I think he was with a friend, actually, who was watching reruns of football games, you know. And he was watching it, and it was just from like 20 years ago. And Brother Sam's like, you know, and this guy's just calling the next play. Here's what's going to happen next, Brother Sam, that play. Brother Sam's like, how many times have you watched this? Oh, at least 20-something times. He's like, why? Well, because I know how it ends, you know? And so Brother Sam's watching. The star player goes down. Oh, no. The guy, OU fan, he's sitting there. No big deal, Brother Sam. It's all going to work out. How do you know? Because I know how it ends. Doesn't matter how hard the game gets, how ugly it gets, how many points they're ahead. If you know the final score, you're not worried about it. And we know how it ends. It's right here in the end. Yep. And it's going to feel sometimes like we're losing. And it's going to feel like we're getting wiped. And it's like, oh man, that guy got taken out. What are we going to do? It's okay. I know how it ends. I don't know all the in-between. But we don't have to know all that. We know our God. We know how it ends. So we can be thankful. We can be stable. We can be comforted. And just keep going. Following the Lord. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the comfort it brings, the stability it brings. Lord, the gratitude and joy that can flood our soul, even in the hardest parts of life. And God, thank you for your Son who died for us. God, you know what we deserve. You know who we are and what we've done, what we've thought, what we've said. God, you know that we deserve your wrath. You don't have to care about us. You can just leave us to ourselves and we can ruin our life all by ourselves. But Lord, you love us so much. And you have such interest in our life. Just that alone blows us away, but that you would even care so much to become a human, to live among us, and to suffer and bleed and die and be nailed to a cross, all so that you can take what we deserve. God, we're humbled. Lord, if there's one here that's never accepted what you've done on the cross, I pray that your Holy Spirit would get a hold of their hearts right now and that they would be convicted and they would know that they need to come and get it settled, Lord, to ask you for forgiveness, and pray that you would do that in their heart, Lord. And us that are saved, that have accepted the gospel, believe the truth, that you would help us, God, to find stability and rest and joy, even in the midst of chaos. Lord, we love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Let's all stand together.